Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. For some of you, this might be your first time. God bless you for being here. I hope you enjoy what God has tonight as much as I enjoyed it when he revealed it unto me. If you have a Bible or can find one, we would encourage you to turn into the book of 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. And we will begin reading in that chapter from verse 48 through unto verse 58. So one more time, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 48 through unto 58. If you're there with me tonight, say, let's go. All right, here we go. Verse 48, it says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy or earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, say that word with me, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding or growing in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God, tonight we come to you as your humble servant. Lord, I need your strength and your anointing to take over in this moment, that every word be spoken that you would want spoken. God, and I pray for all those that are here tonight that need a word from you. I pray that you not miss them throughout this sermon and speak into the hearts of those that have come seeking confirmation. God, and tonight I just have to give you praise and thanks for all that you do, all that you are, and all that you have done for each and every one of us. For God, we take it for granted so often, but Lord, let our hearts be glad this night. Lord, we look over so much that you do for us, but help us focus on what you would have to say, as you have done so much for us to give you our attention. Lord, we'll never cease to give you the honor and the glory, and we ask that you bless in this petition in the name of Jesus. And the church said with me, there are four things that I want to talk about. I hope not to take too long, but if the Holy Ghost has better plans, you better buckle up. It might be a long night. The first thing I want to talk about is what you begin to read in verse 48. The word earthly. The Bible identifies, as we were created into the world, that we were born and formed out of what? The dust of the earth. So it is pretty safe to say that when you look at yourself in the mirror, as pretty as you might think you are, because when I look in the mirror, I think I see a pretty good looking feller. But when I look in the mirror, I realize that it's only dust. It's only dirt. It all, sometime down the road, will deteriorate till I will not be in the form I am today. And one day I may not be able to get around as good as I am right now and be as active and take off running and enjoy myself. I hope I get to. I hope I still am able. But if I'm not, and I get older, I'm still glad to know that my final form is not earthly. We might have been created from the dust of the earth, but that does not mean that you depend on the earth only. If you do not know Jesus Christ, then all that you have in your life is the things that you depend on earth. I'm talking about relationships with your family, those that you have close to you. Relationships you might have with friends or people that you consider close to you that aren't related. You might have some co-workers at your job that you can trust in. You might have people in your life that you're able to confide in things that you couldn't tell everybody else. But let me talk about all of these sources we're talking about right now. Every person you know is earthly. Every car that you drive was built from the resources that we have on this planet. Everything that we're wearing, everything that has been manufactured, everything that we spend our hard-earned money on is tangible goods. From the moment I bought a vehicle, for every mile I put on it, it is less and less new. So I realize that a car is just a car. And when it wears out, you'll get another one. But I begin to consider how so often, when we come into the house of God, oftentimes we never step out beyond that first stage of life. We're looking at our bank accounts, and we're counting ourselves so small just because we have little in there. We look at where we are in our life and judge it against another person, and we think to ourselves, could I have done more to be more successful, to be more happy? And sometimes we'll even be our own worst critic and pick ourselves apart and never be satisfied with anything that we do. And this is how that you'll find a lot of people are trying to serve God. Can I preach for a little while? So here we are, we have this dependency on so many things. But when it comes to tapping into the source of the true anointing, we are coming short. Yeah, I've still got to go there, unfortunately. Maybe we'll get off of it one day, but not right now. We have so many other things we're depending on. We have so many other things that we find more important than God. But when something breaks, when something goes wrong, when the tangible things do not obey what we want them to, who do we find ourselves calling out to? So it's safe to say that we already know that in times of trouble, we have a divine source that works on our behalf. But it's amazing to me that up until the point that we get in trouble, we never consider that God's with us. We're not considering that He's trying to open our eyes and speak to us every day. And this has been a learning experience for me because I grew up my whole life and had a great raising, had people tell me you need to stay in school. You need to get a good education, you need to graduate college, you need to find a good job, you need to work smarter and not harder, you don't need to give up, you don't need to stop, you don't need to quit until you get all the way through. But guess what? I graduated college, I got a job, but even in the midst of all of that, there was still emptiness in my life, all right? A college degree is earthly. A high school diploma is earthly. The things that you earn that give you things on earth that aren't from heaven are just earthly. We might want to come in and think that we are only where we are because of what we've done. But let me offer this unto you tonight. You would not be where you are right now if God's hand had not moved for you. You would not own a single earthly piece of anything on this earth if God had not loved you enough to let you have it. You would not have graduated if he did not want you to graduate. Listen, you could have been born in a third world country where there are no schools. You could have been born in a situation that was far worse than what you even went through. Let me offer another thing to you. Things could be so much worse right now for us than what we're letting on. Yet we want to pretend like we're the people that have the worst of situations. But guess what? God didn't call you to expect the worst. He called you to walk by faith. So when the world would look at their earthly things and see them breaking, what do? They get naturally frustrated. They get angry. And in this same way, we look at God sometimes in our situation and we think, Lord, if you could just get me through this thing, I'll begin to serve you. If I can just get this car fixed, I'll serve you. If I can get this marriage put back together, Lord, I'll serve you. God, if I can just kick this addiction or forgive these people or get things right in my life again, I'll begin to serve you then. But all these things that you're worrying about on earth have nothing to do with who you truly are. Let's go a little bit deeper. The blood of Christ, as it was given by a sacrifice on Calvary at the cross, opened up and made a pathway that you no longer have to be earthly. You no longer have to be who you were. You can begin to what? Become a new creature. I am only here tonight, not because of my degrees, not because of things that I have done, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because when I was on my way to do what the earth defined as success, I found myself in the middle of it becoming a failure because I gave in to temptations. I wasn't prepared to face what was out there. And as soon as something found me, the devil tried all that he could to destroy me. Many of you may be wondering how people are inspired to participate in terrorism. But I want to tell you that a lot of the people that are doing terrorism once strove for success, once strove for a different kind of success. They once were probably normal, but as they were not opened up to something that was not earthly, they were tempted and drawn into something that was not of God. Amen. So we find that they will participate and do evil because they feel like that is good. Let me tell you, when you're in a place in your life, when you're doing things that are wrong and it feels good to you, you need to begin to change the situation. When it feels better to talk about somebody instead of praying for them, you need to change the situation. That we just read in the scripture that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So tell me all that you want to about how much that you know about God, but what I want to really know is, do you really know him? Because if you really know him, you'll know and understand something. He begins to open up to you that you no longer have to worry and depend on things that are earthly, but you turn your eyes to a greater, more divine source. Brother, you're getting pretty deep. Break it down for me. It's got to stop being about what we have. It's got to be something more than just about what we can get for ourselves. Jesus Christ did not die for himself. He died for you. That's what makes it heavenly. I didn't come in tonight to be quiet, to give in, to be silent, or not to sound the trumpet of victory. I come in tonight to serve you. because that's the heavenly thing to do. I'm here tonight to encourage those that are discouraged, because that's the heavenly thing to do. I'm here tonight to exhort to those that need exhortation, to lift up those that are weak and heavy burdened. I'm here to remind you tonight, if nobody else has told you this all week long, I'm going to be number one in line to tell you that God still loves you. He's still all about your life and your situation, and all that He's wanting from you is a closer relationship. God don't care about your money. He don't care about your car. He cares about your heart. And He said that if you would seek Him first, that He would add this stuff to you. We have this backwards, my friends. We are depending on earthly things before we ever try to draw into a heavenly source. You want to know how I know that? Because church is hard. Amen or oh me. Help me out tonight. Because church has been hard. It's been hard pressing to get in to the anointing where people can be saved, delivered, and set free. So that's telling me that what we are doing in the goings on of our weekly living is more earthly than heavenly. Because let me tell you, when you have enough heavenly in somebody, they don't care about what you think anymore. When you have enough heavenly in somebody, they come in to be active for the kingdom of heaven and no longer give a regard for others. I want you to know tonight, I'm glad you're here, but you're not going to hinder me from getting to the place where God can bless me, because it's more important to me to be heavenly than it is to be earthly. Have you ever noticed at times, even when you're trying to have the most fun out there, that you'll still feel a void of unsatisfaction in your heart? Have you been there before? When I was in sorrow and I tried to go on vacation, I still wasn't relaxed. Something in me just wasn't fulfilled. And until I realized that I needed God more than anything else in my life, then I wasn't going to grow anymore. There's some of us that are sitting here under the sound of my voice that have not grown in a long time. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it's time to start growing again. You've got to know and understand that in order to have growth in God, you've got to get up into heavenly places. In order to grow in the Holy Spirit, you've got to learn to destroy this flesh, to destroy that which is you, and to become more like Him. And the more that you do that, you'll begin to understand God's will for your life. The world would tell me, well, you're successful and you're good at what you do, so you don't have to worry about going to church. People will tell us that there's no need to go all the time. But let me tell you, when tragedy strikes, oh, the prayer vigils come out of nowhere. When something detrimental is wrong with our loved ones, or we hear they have cancer, my Lord, our faith takes a complete 180 from where it normally is. And let me tell you, if that is the situation that you are in, you're missing out on so much of life that you could have. I had a brother in this church tell me one time that he was thankful just to have a toothbrush. Oh, we take these things for granted, right? But tonight, I'm going to take 5 minutes of time, and I'm going to do something heavenly and not earthly. And you can either join me, or you can enjoy the show. That's all I know to tell you. I thank God for the blessings that He has put in my life. I thank God that when I was an addict, He delivered me. I thank God that when nobody else would have took a chance on me, God said, I'm going to give Him one more time. I'm glad that when I needed the blood applied in my life and I did not have salvation, that I had not done too much, sinned too hard, made too many mistakes, that God did not see my heart and still say, I know that I can deliver this child. I'm telling you tonight, in order to get people saved, delivered, and set free, we've got to come in here and be entering into heavenly places. We cannot wait all week long, come into the sanctuary and expect a heavenly moment to come to pass. There's too much earthly things inside of the house of God for God to prosper in the abundance of His Spirit. Light and darkness won't have no fellowship. It is impossible for them to mingle together. You've got to know and understand, I can try as hard as I can. to sing and feel the power of God and do all that I know to do. But if you are hearing from God during the week and not changing what He's trying to modify in your life, then when you come back in here, there won't be anything good enough for you. Amen. You read at the next part of verse 48, and it says, "And as is the heavenly, such they also that are heavenly." I'm going to give us a little bit of a reminder just in case you'd forgot. Look over at your neighbor and tell them, you got heaven inside of you. The blood of Christ is our ticket, our gateway to heaven. That means you already have the heavenly places put inside of you. Do you know how somebody could write the words, "Oh death, where is your sting?" and not let it bother them? It's because they were talking from a heavenly place. Do you want to know that how you're going to conquer all your doubts and fears and sadness? You've got to learn to begin to talk from a heavenly place. When I get up in the morning, I don't doubt a bit what God can do through me. Because I know in the Word of God it says that I can do all things through Christ, which is my strength. So I don't get up in the morning and doubt God one bit. In the moment that I face adversity, the first thing that I do is I tell the devil, "You might think you're going to start something here, but I'm already claiming my domain, and you might try to bother me, but I'm going to move on and leave you in the dust." He said to shake it off as a testimony against him. And I'm here to tell you, some of you need to shake off to the devil and tell him, "You're behind me, and you're in the dust of my trail, and not messing with my life." But we're waiting for trouble. It's almost like we're afraid to do anything because we're afraid of what we'll have to do to pay for it. But I'm also going to burst your bubble too. It is twice as hard to suffer through disobedience than it is to obey God and face the persecution of the enemy. Do you want to know why? Because God's your protector when you obey Him. It's sin when you disobey. When we withdraw from the Holy Spirit, hear this, when we quench it, it grieves God. Plain and simple. Now, I don't care how you praise Him. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how it comes out. But it's required of you to give God praise. You might not want to thank anybody for what you've got, but He is the only one that gave it to you. And if we cannot come in and give Him reverence, if we can't do this together, we might as well hang it up, turn off the lights, shut the doors, and go home. Because if we're going to live in this earthly business, there will never be another thing that prospers where there is earthly, fleshly carnality. Amen. A lot of people are running away from churches because their eyes are finally being opened to say, "Oh my Lord, what have I been into? What is this?" And there are people all over this nation trying to find refuge, a place where they can belong, a place where they can fit in. But they're finding that as they go to other places, they're running into the same thing. Our assembly has become more about religion and tradition than it is about salvation and deliverance. All right? Because if it was more about salvation and deliverance, we'd be seeing more heavenly things going on. I wondered if we pulled all the pews out of the house of God and expected us to have church, how many of you would still find your way to sit down in the floor? Yeah, I'm bringing the bulldozer tonight. You might as well stand back. I wonder if we turned off the sound system and had no music, if we would know what to do if we come in here. I wonder if I visited you in the evening time and begged you to pray for me, if you would be ready to pray for me, or if you would have to say, "Hold on, brother, I need to go repent of some things before we can begin." Yeah. Bless you, Lord. God wants you to be heavenly. He wants you to do heavenly things. The way that you do heavenly things to destroy this carnality, number one, is to pray. Prayer at least one or two times a day is meaningful. You'll find that Daniel is setting an example for truly having God move for him, prayed up to 3 times a day, not even knowing and heard from God yet, but then God reminded him, I heard you the very first moment that you spoke to me. Number 2, beginning to fast or denying ourselves. We may not think that we need to give anything up to prosper, but Jesus told the rich man to sell out all that you've got to follow me. And if we could learn to deny ourselves of things that are taking our time and our pleasure away from finding pleasure in God, listen, you'd enjoy a whole lot more of God if your pleasure sensors weren't numbed all week long by all this other junk that's out there. We come in and we're bored with church. We come in and God has blessed us to even have another opportunity to be here, and we're bored and can't even get up and praise Him. I'm here to tell you, we need a little bit of an attitude adjustment, because friends, you wouldn't even be here if God had not blessed you with the chance to be in the house of God. But we're bored with God. If it's not flashy, if I can't download it on the App Store, if I can't see it on Facebook or YouTube, forget about it. Or Vine. I don't know how many of you have ever watched a Vine. 6-7 seconds of something. People are being recruited for evil by mechanisms that are attractive. And we are not portraying our salvation in an attractive way. God said that when we would become lukewarm, that He would throw us up. That when we would not do His will, guess what? We'd be a stench in His nostril. Amen. Oh, Lord. You might not think you stink, but you might want to check yourself. Make sure there ain't nothing wrong with you. Because I'm telling you right now, there is nothing on earth that when God sets you free can have a hold on you again like it did back then. I have been delivered of many things, and all that I can tell you is by experience, if I can be free from addiction, if I can be freed from depression, if I can be free from confusion and anxiety, then I'm telling you tonight that if you'll step into heavenly places, that you're going to begin to find a freedom that you never thought that you would have had before. You'll begin to walk around on earth and feel like you're walking on the clouds. You'll begin to celebrate even when everybody else is frowning. You'll be able to tell the devil, devil, you might as well take a number, because I'm enjoying myself too much to have you stand in my way. So number 1, we realize of what we were, and we know that as we are saved, we know who we are. Third thing I want to talk about is what we shall be. And this is my hope for every day. As I am going to a heavenly place by receiving Christ in my life, guess what? When I die, death no longer holds me. When I surrender my last breath to Him, every debt that I have open and outstanding will no longer matter. Every time that I ever had to cry, to suffer, to worry, to wonder, to be in confusion, will all be behind me. Every time you've ever faced an enemy that was bigger than you are will no longer occur. Every time that you would have felt like you were going to give up before it was time, you'll no longer have to worry, am I going to give up? Because one day the trump is going to sound, friends, and you'll go back to the dust of the earth from which you came. But the soul that you committed to Christ by receiving Him will enter into a heavenly place where there'll be nothing but worship and singing and eternal rejoicing unto the One that has gave us every chance and opportunity to enjoy our lives while we're here. You might know the names Adam and Eve, and you'll realize that before they failed, God wanted nothing more but to fellowship with them. Today it is no different. We might make a lot of mistakes, but by His grace and mercy, He wants to have fellowship with you. You might think it's silly for me to tell you, you need to pick up the phone and call God every once in a while. But how many of you will admit that maybe you don't call your grandparents like you should? How many of you will admit you don't visit all your relatives like you should? Why? Because I'm just too busy. Yeah. How many of us are having a visit with God? Oh, Lord. How many of us are having an encounter with God? How many times have we come in here and not truly had a visitation from the Holy Spirit? How many services are you going to go before you realize that it requires a move of God inside of you in order to transform you? How many more weeks are you going to sit back and wonder when things are going to get better before you realize that all God's looking for you to do is accept what He's already blessed you with and the faith He wants you to walk by? How many more times are we going to have to suffer over the hold that the devil puts on us before we